I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show for you in store this evening with some new perspectives on some quite interesting and popular topics around extraterrestrials and victimhood and improving health and getting yourself self-empowered. And before we go into some of those topics this evening, I'd just like to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to our listening audience. As usual, just for being you, it's great to know that there's a growing number of people out there that are tuning into ET Yoga and can relate to the information presented and the frequency of information on this program. And it's also very heartening for me every week to receive a number of emails of a very positive nature. And I'm very appreciative of those people who take the time to email me. And you can do that at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, P-A-P-E-R, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, all one word, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And, of course, I'm always very interested in people making suggestions for program content, as well as what really makes my week is to get an email from someone who's tried some of the techniques we've offered on ET Yoga and sharing some of their successes. And actually, I'm starting to keep a log now of some of the information that's been shared from some of our listeners. And generally, on ET Yoga, we challenge people with some technique or an idea to try, and if you're having success with those, really appreciate it. And of course, what I find is really extremely helpful to me is almost everyone that writes in also has you know, learn something or connects to an idea that's been presented and will ask me, you know, have I heard about this or, you know, have I checked out this source of information? And I really appreciate that because certainly life is always a learning process. And so if you would care to share some of your experiences, really love hearing about it. And that's at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. I'd also like to mention that I'm very pleased that ET Yoga was chosen as one of two shows from BBS Radio to air in the United Kingdom. And that's at Glastonbury Radio, and we've been now appearing there for some time. And a more recent choice has been made from Empower TV, and that's Michelle Blood. And she has started a program where she's chosen 10 services or products from around the globe to promote with respect to their making a difference in consciousness on the planet. And I'm pleased to say that ET Yoga and my website, Healing the Known and the Unknown, have been chosen for one of 10 service products in the world to be promoted, and that's going to come out any day now. I've seen the original promotional commercial, and looks good, and anytime now that's going to be available, and I really appreciate the fact that this will be another way that people can find out about ET Yoga and my site, Healing the Known and the Unknown. So hopefully you'll tell your friends about that, and if you're a fan or haven't checked out Empower TV, I suggest that's an interesting source of information as well, and several self-empowering programs being advertised at that source. And now to sort of get into the topics of this evening's show, I'm going to start off with extraterrestrial information sort of in a general way. And the first area will be kind of talking about, you know, what I think from my perspective, really what this whole ET contact, first contact scenario, and just extraterrestrials in general is kind of all about. And of course, to my way of thinking, you know, we've never been alone, and there's been contact going on all the time in some form or another for thousands and thousands of years, and from the inception of humanity. However, at the most recent focus, at least from what I see kind of on the internet, there's been a sort of a ping-pong match lately going on between Stephen Greer and ExoPolitics and the Disclosure Project with Project Camelot. And I find them quite interesting discussions concerning their different perspectives on positive or negative extraterrestrial sources, and you know, whether or not there's bases on Mars and the Moon and some of the new technologies that apparently are suppressed, etc. But frankly, I kind of feel they really missed the point. And the point really to me is all the amazing extraterrestrial information that has already been passed down to us from amazing sources that contain self-empowering information. And of course, that's the focus of ET Yoga, to provide our listeners with a lot of this information that's coming from what I call the most positive sources, being Esesani, Pleiadian, Arcturian, and Sirian. And not to say that those are the only positive sources, nor are those the only positive beings visiting our planet at this time, but to me, those are the ones that I've been connected with and have a frequency, a resonance with that information. And to me, this is the whole gist of why there's ET contact right now that's more obvious in the first place. It's all about raising the frequency of consciousness on this planet so that we more approximate that of our extraterrestrial friends who will, in the near future, be making it very obvious about first contact. And then all that discussion among those who are not debating, you know, the pros and the cons of different ET races, but just trying to debate whether or not ETs exist or not. And, of course, for a long time, a lot of people were made to seem foolish for believing in extraterrestrial presence. But I guess we'll be finding out about that, I guess, not before too long. To my way of thinking, and according to information Bashar, our planet has been under quarantine and will remain so until after the year 2012. So there will not be any legitimate extraterrestrial first contact scenario until after 2012. And that doesn't mean that, of course, that there isn't ongoing contact in a variety of ways happening all the time. But that magical moment when, sort of like when Columbus got credit for discovering America, that, or the New World, that there'll be this magical first contact that, people will recognize as that moment when, it became a global consciousness and, an accepted possibility, or more than a possibility, but a reality at that point. And I guess also in connection with that, when I think of the whole extraterrestrial experience, to me, this is the greatest time to be living on this planet, because this really is the transformational age. And when I mean transformation, I guess in more specific terms, what I think of is this is a big leap for humanity that's coming up around the corner. And this leap is basically about us reconnecting with spirit. It's us reconnecting with our higher selves. And I know that I first had this experience back in 1969, actually doing a technique from Baba Ram Dass. And Baba Ram Dass at that time was doing some lecturing in Vancouver, British Columbia. And one of the radical newspapers, actually, at that time, called the Georgia Strait, ran an article about Baba Ram Dass and also included a technique called the Who Am I technique. And that was actually originator of that technique was called the Vichara and was Sri Ramana Maharshi. And the first time I did that technique, and by the way, that technique is clearly explained on at the website, Healing the Known and the Unknown, and that's maxwellgreensite.com. And that particular technique is on the archived ET Yoga show that's called Extraterrestrial Meditation. And the first time I did that technique, I went right through the doorway and had an experience of my higher self, and that experience lasted for the better part of about 3 days. And it's not something that really is easy to explain, especially on radio or in any medium for that matter, because it's an experience. And as Swami Satchidananda would say, even philosophy is, true philosophy is that which neither the speaker nor the listener truly understands, because it has to be experienced. But when I experienced my higher self and realized that I am my higher self, that it changes your whole life. And of course, that's what Ram Dass would call the planting of the seed. And it's this disconnection from remembering who we really are, and how that higher self also connects with the higher levels of consciousness, whether you want to call them cosmic consciousness, prime creator, all that is, whatever label you would like to put on that, God, whatever, as Satchidananda used to say, there's no possible way that the finite mind can define the infinite. So each mind sort of has its own flavor for that experience and how it relates and communicates the experience of those higher states of consciousness or spirituality. And it's this planting of the seed that I see is becoming more and more prevalent. And to me, this is what the transformational age means, where not just a few people or more and more people become aware of who they really are, this connection with spirit, but when the majority of the people on the planet have that as their basis. And this, to me, is what will create the spiritual new age. And I think that Bashar also concurs with that perspective, and I'll share with you his comment, because he says that for the past 25,000 years, approximately, you have chosen as a group consciousness to explore the idea of separating yourselves from your memory of being all that is. And now you are turning over a new idea. You are through with the separation. And that is why you are creating this idea you call a new age of understanding, a new age of awareness in light and in love. And someone asked, well, who's doing that? And he says, well, you all are. And he says, these few people here, like at this particular conference? And he says, no, the entire planet. Or you would not be on it. Because that is the idea of this planet that you are on, to create the transformation, to begin to recognize yourselves as all that is and create a positive world. Now that you know that you are the creator, peace, harmony, light, and love can result. Now you are through with the tool of separation.
within the time span of approximately the next 20 to 40 of your years, all of your civilization will also recognize this. And he actually goes on to further state that for when you created separation, you created the experience of more time, and that is why experiencing all the limitation and separation has taken you 25,000 years. When you now choose to create the idea of integration, of knowing yourselves to be all that is, then this experience can be played out upon your planet in a mere 2,000 to 3,000 years. And after that point, you will not need to reincarnate upon this planet, for it will have served its purpose for you, and you will move on to something else. And I think, you know, to me, this is totally consistent with my comment about this transformational age and what really this whole first contact and extraterrestrial experience is going to be like. And further, with respect to extraterrestrial information, if any of our listeners, and I guess here's a challenge I'll throw out, if any of our listeners has been able to find or have seen mentioned anywhere the group of beings called the Shalanaya, I'd be very interested if they heard about this through other than through Bashar sources, and that's information at Bashar can be found at www.bashar.org. Because Bashar has indicated that the Shalanaya will be the first civilization that will have open public contact with the Earth. In fact, he states further that the Shalanaya actually means those who will come first. And I've never seen this information anywhere else. And hi, everybody. I guess we had a bit of a technical difficulties there and got cut off. I believe I was discussing the Shalanaya and the connection to the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights. And Bashar says that the craft, which was wedge-shaped, which hovered over the Phoenix area for several hours, was actually from the civilization called the Shalanaya. And he further indicates that in 2010, the Shalanaya will also be visiting the Arizona area again. And he further states that in 2012, they will be also visiting various sacred sites around the planet. So in respect to the whole concept here around first contact, Bashar, when he's pressed about, you know, when this likely will take place, I believe that he's mentioned that somewhere around 2015 to 2017, as he reads the energy at the moment, is a possibility for more and more public awareness of the Shalanaya. And it seems to be fairly nebulous as to when exactly there will be an actual open first contact, but clearly in the Bashar's information concerning where we're headed by the year 2035, he sees us as being a member of the Association of Worlds, and so that we as a planet will become aware that we are, you know, members of a galactic community. And to me, the main focus at this point for all of us is to raise our frequency. And to me, whether or not, you know, we have bases on Mars, or whether or not there's suppressed technology, or whether or not any other specific event is happening or taking place, to my way of thinking, doesn't raise our frequency. It may raise our information about what's happening, but to me, the techniques that are being communicated to help raise consciousness on this planet, that's the key stuff. And that's the stuff that I want to focus on. And I know that when Daryl Anka channels Bashar, he doesn't spend any time trying to prove to the public that Bashar is extraterrestrial, because it's not the point. The point for them is the information, and the point for me also is the information. I don't get caught up for 5 seconds trying to argue with people that their ETs exist or what's going on anyplace else. And I've never been one to be part of that energy that tries to push or attack, because I don't believe in that philosophy. I believe in creating new positives. And I was part of the, actually the chairperson at one point of the program to develop the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And it's a bill that's eventually needs to be presented and passed, but it is available for public viewing at www.bashar.org. And if you're interested in being involved with that particular act, which is to set a protocol for the first contact scenario, certainly Daryl Anka has now formed a non-profit organization that's dedicated to that end. So that's something else that you can be actively involved with. And moving on now to another subject. I know a lot of people have expressed concerns about economic collapse, and I'd like to share with you an idea that I concur with, that I found that Divine Cosmos, and that's a David Wilcox site, and that's the concept of chaos theory. And basically, simulations have been done on piles of sand in which they can calculate, you know, where every grain of sand is in the pile and where it potentially can go. And as the pile gets ready to have an avalanche, it goes into something called self-organizing criticality, which means that at that point, the sand particles begin acting as a conglomerate whole, and you can no longer predict the location or the vector, which is the direction of travel, of any given particle. And that happens is that the avalanche actually reorganizes the pile into a higher level of complexity. It's actually a better structure. And a single grain of sand can be the entire catalyst upon which that reorganization takes place. It kind of reminds me of the 100th monkey effect, where when that 100th monkey gets the concept, then the whole group gets the concept and the morphogenetic field. And as this applies to economics, what it means is that the idea of a global economic collapse is effectively a fantasy. Because of chaos theory, we know that when you have a complex system in which individual agents have free will to behave within the system, they will self-organize and they will keep rearranging into a higher level of order. So as we've said many times, as the Bashar has taught us, that throw a positive spin on all outer circumstance, certainly throwing a positive spin on the economic situation, to me, this can be a good thing. And when you put a positive experience into any external circumstance, you can have a positive experience. I thought I would share that particular one. And by the way, also David has very positive expectations concerning the year 2012, and that's also a viewpoint shared by those of us on ET Yoga. And moving on to the next topic, it's kind of all about self-empowering concepts, but in particular as it relates to health and what's going on now with the medical establishment. And most of the controversy, of course, from that most of you are aware of, concerns new healthcare programs and how those new possible programs might affect health, and as well as existing programs and which is better, et cetera. Well, I'm going to offer a third perspective, and my third perspective basically is more consistent with Dr. Schultz from the American Botanical Pharmacy. Dr. Schultz says that if you get hit by an 18-wheeler, go in and get sewn up and then get out of there. Like, who wants to be a part of that system anyway? To my way of thinking, outside of emergency only, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, but I'm just saying this is one possible choice. Why be part of the system? Nobody in my family or immediate family is part of the system. They haven't been for a long time. Don't believe in it. And part of the reason I don't believe in it is because from what I perceive, generally in life, areas where you give away your power are areas where you're abused. And I challenge people to take a look. Write down on a piece of paper the areas in your life where you're having problems. And I can tell you that those are areas where you've given your power away. If you're having problems with your relationships, I'll guarantee you it's because you're giving too much power away in relationships. And consequently, what happens in those situations, you get abused. And to my way of thinking, our society generally, we've been taught from, you know, time we're young to give our power away to the medical profession and doctors. And consequently, what we're finding now is that we're being abused. And why do I think that? Well, just from things that just don't set right with me with respect to my own beliefs. For example, when I'm told things like biogenetic food is good for me, I don't buy it. I don't buy that the sunlight's bad. You know, to me, the sun is like your spiritual father, and I've never been afraid of the sun. And no, I never use sunscreens, and I don't believe in that either. And I don't believe that when I see some of these young teenagers who are taking shots to eliminate having their periods for like 6 months at a time, when I see them in a couple of years, I see every single one of them is like 40 or 50 pounds heavier. Do I think that's good for you? I don't think so. All this the recommendations concerning vaccinations, no, I don't believe in it. Haven't had a vaccination in over 30 years. Don't feel a need for it. When people are suggesting that even in topics concerning the friends of mine that they have with their doctors concerning cancer and alternate cures, it's come to light that it's a felony for a doctor to recommend an alternate cure to cancer. So how can you have a legitimate, meaningful discussion and discourse concerning the topic with those sorts of parameters? I don't understand a doctor telling friends of mine that they shouldn't breastfeed because the material that's been provided for you by manufactured products is better than a mother's milk. I'd like to share with you one of my teachers, Sri Swami Satchidananda, his comments about milk. He said, the minute God helped the soul come into the womb, even without asking, he also created milk for the child in the mother's breast. The Supreme Mother thinks of everything. As soon as the child comes, the milk is ready. But nowadays, in the name of some modern medicine, the first 2 or 3 days the mother's milk is squeezed out. The baby is not allowed to drink it because it is curdled, they say. But that curdled milk is very important. If God wanted the baby to drink other milk, he would have given clean milk immediately. Curdled milk acts as a laxative, which eliminates all the dried fecal matter in the intestines of the child. The first 1 or 2 days, the child should drink that milk. I tell the mothers, if you really want to call someone your child, behave like a mother. Don't steal the child's property. The milk belongs to the child, not even to you or your husband. Many mothers refuse to give that milk which God created for the baby because they feel they will lose their beauty. You call that beauty? Who wants your beauty then? That's not beautiful thinking, and it's not probably the reason why, after some time, all that they stole from the baby and kept for themselves creates cancer. Denying an innocent baby's property is a sin. Mother Nature knows how to punish, and if you violate any of God's laws, you suffer. You can't escape from that. You might escape from man's law, but never God's law. I don't mean to paint a dangerous picture of God. God is not there to punish, but your own mistakes punish you. If you put your finger in the fire, it will burn. You are the cause for your suffering, not God. Don't rob the child of the food God prepared for it, breastfeed. And that's from the great Sri Swami Satchidananda. Pretty strong words, I would say. And I'm also very, very concerned about this connection between thimerosal and vaccines, and the medical establishment seems to be, and the other powers that be in organizations seems to be in denial. To me, if there's even the smallest chance of there being any kind of connection between thimerosal and autism, then that should be eliminated from vaccines. And it's starting to become more of a controversy. I would suggest you take a look at the video on YouTube by JFK Jr. And he's basically, stating flat out that the research is there, the good research is there, to know that there is a connection. And my nose for truth tells me that he's right. And so I'm not buying it that there's no connection here. And, in fact, doing a little research, I found that in Russia, thimerosal was banned 20 years ago, as in some other European countries. And I'm also very concerned about this whole concept of iatrogenic deaths. And if you haven't heard about that, over 250,000 Americans every year die from accidental death that's caused from doctors' recommendations or medical treatment. And to me, this is just an outrage. There's more people than are killed in all the wars that the United States fought in its whole history that die every year from accident. And yet we have these committees out with this Codex Alimentarius to totally control the food and suppress all natural foods and natural cures. I don't know. I've never heard of anybody dying from natural cures. So to me, from my perspective, they've lost all credibility. And also, I recall back in the 70s when the World Health Organization inoculated something like 2.5 billion people with hepatitis B vaccine that, by their own admission, brought out the AIDS virus in Brazil, India, and Africa. I mean, and now they're the ones that are going to be, behind this, the new vaccines for swine flu. And to me, I'm sorry, but you can count me out. Don't want any part of anything to do with what's going on there. And personally, I know it's hard for some people that, and I'm not saying that's for everybody, depending on your own beliefs, but I'd like to share with you some perspectives from the Pleiadians concerning this. The power of suggestion is well understood among the medical sciences, yet its negative applications can be readily seen with the relentless dire warnings about protecting yourself from harmful exposure to the sun and nature, or the need for vaccinations that are actually toxic chemical cocktails. And grave and foreboding announcements always anoint the arrival of the yearly flu season. Illness is now big business. You have to start thinking in terms of not catching everything that is going around, like going against the rules and not lifting your mitt to catch that fly ball. Millions of people frighten themselves into various stages of sickness and death and contribute to the business of fear because they have been taught to deny the connection between the mind and body. A numbing, unquestioned acceptance of a given medical prognosis can stem from a variety of foundational beliefs, yet it will all boil down to a strong underlying belief in personal powerlessness that can be expressed as follows. Who am I to question a medical authority? Oh, and by the way, I'm not a medical doctor. And any of the information on this program that relates to medical, I'm supposed to give a disclaimer that, this is of a spiritual educational nature only, and you should be advised to see your doctor. Okay, but now having said that, what do I know? Modern medicine has all the answers. I have to have medical insurance that something happens to me because I have no control over my body. Hari Om again, everyone. Apparently, we were disconnected for the second time. As I was saying, the largely ineffective, costly healthcare system is sustained by such beliefs. And from a larger perspective, the sense of powerlessness over how to create physical well-being has resulted in poor energy management of physical and mental resources, which is manifested in the current epidemic of serious maladies. Illness is an internal battle, and people get sick in part because they stop their mental and emotional growth, which closes off accessibility to cosmic and spiritual connections and energies. Desiring to have someone else in charge of fixing and taking care of the body has created a cumbersome bureaucracy to deal with cradle-to-grave health concerns that are, for the most part, founded on conditional fears contrived in the mind. In order to live well and thrive during these times of transformational change, it is to your advantage to embrace a belief in vital health and to accept responsibility for the ability to create it. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medications is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or mental imbalances. This pernicious approach to health only serves to put greater stress on the body, making the symptoms of an illness with medications only glosses over the destructive thinking processes and deep inner feelings of helplessness and powerlessness, which are at the root of the problem. Unresolved emotional traumas are the real core issue of disease. Weak thinking and leading a false life weaken the body, and the massive epidemic of serious illness is a direct result of most people over the past century accepting restrictive beliefs about how the body operates. And in all fairness to yourself, you must ask, who really benefits from managing my self-concepts? And they further state, which I totally agree with, that every illness actually serves as a positive message from one part of the self to another concerning your emotional response to life. You may have learned to fear your body because you are taught that it can break down for no apparent reason, that it is unpredictable, unreliable, and untrustworthy. And these ideas are examples of limiting beliefs that restrict the flow of life force energy within the body. Every illness is unique to its host, and it actually serves as a positive message from one part of the self to another concerning your emotional response to life. A viewpoint of deep respect for your body's innate intelligence is required in order to understand the body's inner messages. The true validity and meaning of any experience of ill health are lost when you deny the power of your thoughts and emotions to heal yourself. And by the way, at my website, Healing the Known and the Unknown, you know, I basically state that, you know, anything can be healed if you're prepared to do the work, the inner work. And the ebooks there at MaxwellGreenside.com, they're available as a one-stop shop for you to develop the mental and the physical approaches that are necessary to heal any situation. And I'm not saying it's for everyone. In fact, right on my first page of the website, I state that if you believe in prognosis and diagnosis and chemotherapy and these brutal, you know, remedies, then, you know, go and see your doctor. And, other than an emergency, you know, if you're a spiritual person, and I know a lot of people, you know, wouldn't be listening to ET Yoga if they weren't, if you're looking for an alternate choice to, becoming self-empowered, at the very least, my suggestion to, people is to take anyone's advice, and especially in medical or dental areas, and take their advice, but make sure that you're the one making the decisions concerning what actually happens, not just, they say bend over and you say how far. So that would be my suggestion. Now, on a positive point of view there, I think that positive things for the immune system, which is about enhancing the immune system, certainly are to get plenty of sunlight. And for those people who live in the northern hemisphere, I think you can get as much as you can handle. Certainly people that care about your health should be telling you to get a thorough detoxification done from head to colon. And a great source for that is at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. Great detoxing programs as recommended by Bashar. and also the superfood, because it's been found through Dr. Schultz and confirmed by Bashar that 85% of all physical symptoms disappear after thorough detoxification and when the body is provided the proper nutrients such as those provided in superfood that can be found at the American Botanical Pharmacy. Certainly, pure water is a positive. Being anchored in unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion, raise the frequency, change the DNA, the connection between mind and DNA. It's been proven scientifically. Activating a DNA template for perfect health and abundance. I suggest people go to the Infinity Codes of 2007. To find that specific meditation. The Pleiadian Pillar of Light techniques and spinning techniques, and by the way, those are also taught at MaxwellGreenSight.com on the archived tape of the extraterrestrial meditation. Egyptian healing rods, a great way to boost the immune system. These are ways to enhance the higher chakras, balance your internal clocks, balance the yin and yang energy, also use as well as healing tumors, crystal quartz rods, number three, I believe, are the ones that have been most effective in that regard. They're also just great for keeping the body in health. This is what was used in the Egyptian mystery schools to keep them healthy. Prior to their further spiritual practices. And, of course, to my way of thinking, you're not going to be successful healing yourself or in becoming self-empowered if you're still watching 35 to 40 hours of television. You need to keep away from biogenetic foods as possible, and fluorides and water, and limit your cell phone and internet use as well. And if you want a great, great film, I suggest The Effect of Animal Fats on the Human Body. And actually, if you Google search specifically The Effects of Animal Fats on Humans, and that's from the Real Food Channel, that's the best one-hour movie I've ever seen. And basically, it talks about the connection between animal fats and almost every disease known to man. Incredible, incredible movie. And, of course, we highly, highly recommend a vegan diet. The farther you get away from human-animal fats and meat, the better off you're going to be. And, again, one of those recommendations from Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy when he accepts patients, or when he did when he was running the clinics, he used to demand that they get off the meats, and also to buy a juicer and a blender, do a thorough detox, or don't bother coming back. I love his approach. And as Bashar would state, the foundations of health are pure water, plenty of oxygen, exercise, elimination of stress, lightening up the diet, which means getting off the meat, and doing detoxification. That's what he considers the foundation of health. And, of course, in addition to the foundations of health, there's the mental aspect as well. And to my way of thinking, this whole subject connects so much to the whole topic, really, of victimhood. And Bashar would say, and I quote, that let me interject a note here. In interacting with some of you, we have come to understand that you at times take what we are saying in a very negative way. One example recently was an interaction in which we were discussing the idea referred to as victimhood. We do know this is a big issue with many of you, and it has been for a very long time here on your planet. Understand that we always come from the premise that you are the creators of all your experiential reality. The whole idea of sharing with you is that we will always hand you back your power and let you know you have the ability to create the lives you want, regardless of what we say or any other being says on this or any other level. We will share with you the perspective of life that has worked for us, what we know can result in absolute control over your own lives in the creation of what you desire in a positive way, for that is our particular preference. Now, we understand the perspective many of you have been brought up with regarding the beliefs and fears most of you have. In the interaction we had with that individual, we understood him to believe that it was a dangerous philosophy to tell someone who is creating himself to be a victim that he is the one actually creating the whole scenario. He believed that we were, in a sense, rationalizing and condoning the idea of victimhood. But no, this is not our intention at all. We are able to explain the mechanism by which victims can be created, but an explanation is by no means a rationalization or a condonement. But it was feared because of the way that individual had been brought up, that to be able to explain the mechanism was, in a sense, to rationalize it away and to support the idea that there are victims in your society. But always our intention is to put you squarely in touch with the fact that your hand is securely on the lever of control in your lives. Even in the idea of the creation of victimhood, you are all still in control at all times. We know that you do not have to create the idea of victimhood in order to experience it yourselves. You have the option and the opportunity at any moment in your lives whatsoever to cease creating victimhood and instead create a reality of unbridled joy and ecstasy. And there need be no end to this. In our understanding, and this has always worked for us, there must first of all be within your belief system an absolute acknowledgement and ownership of everything in your life you experience, both positive and negative, for you cannot change what you do not own. And to me, this is the fundamental premise in healing as well. The first thing that you do when you're in a what you perceive to be a negative situation or to cure a disease or to do self-healing is throw a positive spin on the outer circumstance and to take 100% responsibility. And this is also the starting point for fourth dimensional awareness, when you learn that you are the creator of your outer experience, that your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, and emotions interact with the morphogenetic field. And it's been proven scientifically. The brain and the heart, rather, is stronger, 5,000 times stronger than the brain and the head. It can be measured. It extends an actual energy field about 10 feet from the body, and it's the one that interacts with the morphogenetic field, and this is the one that creates your experience in 3D reality. And as Bashar would say, also, that it's very important. In fact, the primary function of the rational mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstances, because we're creating our outer reality constantly. And this, to me, is again connects with the point that this is the kind of information that's being communicated from extraterrestrials, that it's self-empowering. The information that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. We assume they do, but they don't. And if you really focus on this whole concept, you'll realize that one man's meat's another's poison, that one man's experience can be highly negative, the same experience can be viewed from a positive point of view, that all experiences are neutral, that we throw a positive or negative emotional spin on it, an incoming outer circumstance, and then that's the result of the experience. The formula is positive emotional experience in, energy in, positive experience out. Negative spin on the circumstance, and you'll get a negative experience. And we challenge people to do this, because once you connect with this, it's a mind blower, because it works. You're creating your reality all the time. And these outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. In fact, Bashar gives a really interesting sort of mantra with that. He says, outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. And not that what happens doesn't matter in terms of it being insignificant. It's that the state of being is what creates more outer reality, not the circumstance. So this is huge, huge information for us on this planet. Number one, because we've been living in victimhood for so long, for the last 25,000 years or so, or as far back as you want to go, that there's been this disconnection from spirit, and as well, there's been this idea that everything's kind of happening at random, or that everything in the world is kind of happens to us, and that we're victims and powerless. And it's by taking 100% responsibility that you gain your power back, because if you're the one that created it, then you're the one that can fix it. But if it's just happening to you, then you're going to remain in victimhood. And what are some of the telltale signs of a victimhood consciousness is when you blame others, when you complain, or when you justify your circumstance. Those are indications that you're in a victimhood frame of mind. So when you realize and catch yourself into those situations where you start blaming, criticizing, justifying your circumstance, blaming others, those are cues to wake up. You're not in the right place here. And this is, to me, it's critical to when our whole humanity realizes how powerful we really are, and the starting point is to take 100% responsibility, and how this certainly reflects on the whole topic of self-empowerment. And the other thing that I think that this connects to is is not going against the negative, go in a new positive direction. And certainly all self-empowering techniques, they lead to healing and ultimately total immunity from disease. And this is another thing of why I set up the website at maxwellgreensight.com called Healing the Known and the Unknown. Because if you purchase the ebook there, and they're 2-for-1 for $99, and they contain everything you, not all the information there is, but they contain all the information you need to develop total self-empowerment and total immunity from disease. And it also connects you with about another 150 pages of information on the internet that I've spent a lot of time, so that it makes a total whole of this information. And interesting to note, this whole topic of, self-healing and also connects back to the great Sri Swami Satchidananda. And I'd like to share with you some of his thoughts concerning this topic, and that come from his book, To Know Yourself, which among all of his, I guess this one and Beyond Words are my two favorites. And he says, you don't always need a lot of doctors in your life. There's an old saying, one doctor consultation, two doctors prescription, and three doctors cremation. Hi, everybody. I'm sorry for that disconnection. But to continue with the great Sri Swami Satchidananda, medical knowledge is improving all the time, and it will continue to improve, but today's medicine is no good for tomorrow. Without sacrificing any life, we can still find ways to keep ourselves healthy. We don't have to torture animals to discover cures. If people just ate the right foods and led the right kind of life, there would certainly be no need for so many hospitals. Go back to nature and lead a natural life. Surely prevention is better than cure. I suggest natural remedies for many ills. The elements themselves can cure the body. For example, if you have pain, you can use mud packs. Hot poultices or clay packs laid against the affected area will be helpful. The earth itself has a beautiful feeling and a healing quality. Mud is nothing else but Mother Earth. When you put it on your body, you are embracing Mother Earth. You can also heal your body just through your thinking. Every one of your thoughts has a certain power over your body. The actions of the mind are clearly visible in certain areas. Your glands change first. Isn't it true that the moment you think of a delicious candy, your salivary glands act? That is how your thoughts affect your body. If you think that you are sick, you are surely going to be sick. Think that you are healthy, and you are healthy. Remember, you become what you think. It's simple. Think well, and you become well. Think very well, and others also become well. Yes, you can send prana to others. You can send a spiritual charge by your touch. If you're really charged with that prana, you can send it long distances by thought alone. You can even charge a material object with spiritual vibrations through a meaningful offering to God in the form of food, objects, or talismans. You may then give or send this object to others or use it yourself. Good electricity conductors such as gold, silver, and copper are also good for charging with spiritual vibrations or prana. Healing is a divine thing. A I'm not quoting anything, nor must you accept what I say. There was a time at the beginning of my spiritual life when I did a lot of healing, sometimes without even seeing my patient. But at a certain point, something dawned in me and said, you shouldn't be doing any healing through your own projection. You should not think that you are doing anything. Let God's will act through you. Certainly, we feel sympathetic towards people who are suffering, and we must be able to help them. But when we are helping somebody, we should at least know the reason they are suffering. Suffering is a means of purgation. This doesn't mean we should ignore someone's suffering, saying simply, oh, that's his karma, which he's purging. Why should I do anything? No, we must still have a sympathetic heart. But if we want to remove suffering, we should do so indirectly and know that this capacity comes from God. Don't even let the person know that you are doing anything to heal him. Instead, ask him to do something to heal himself. Why should we waste our energy on him if he's not ready to undergo a little discipline? If we heal him, tomorrow he will get into the same problems that caused the suffering in the first place. He must learn what has brought the suffering. He must recognize his mistakes so he won't repeat them. If somebody comes for help from cancer, which is caused by smoking, but won't quit smoking, why should we treat him? The cancer will come back. People should face their own karma. It's the best education. If we heal someone who has not learned his lesson, it's like a professor writing an exam for a student who hasn't studied or learned anything. There can be no real promotion. So when someone comes for help, just advise him to undergo some healthy disciplines like asanas and pranayams, and without his knowledge, send your prayers. Then he will say, I was advised to do certain things, which I did, and I was healed. If you have helped remove his suffering, you did so indirectly. You are safe from your own ego, and his discipline has purged his own karma, so he won't have to repeat the suffering. That's from the great Sri Swami Satchidananda. And so as usual on ET Yoga at this point, I hope you've picked up a different perspective on an idea or two. And I hope that you'll contact me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca with some of your suggestions for program content and sharing of any of the successes that you've had with techniques learned on ET Yoga. And I'd like to wish you my sincere best for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part